Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. For today's episode, we spoke with Justin Burke-Bickler, someone who never thought he'd hear the words, "You have cancer," especially before the age of 30. But armed with what he calls a ballsy sense of humor, Justin has become a blogger and activist in the testicular cancer space, and is even conducting research on whether or not testicular cancer is commonly discussed at doctor's visits.
Can you tell me a little bit about your personal experience with testicular cancer? And up until that point of diagnosis, did you ever think that you'd hear the words, "You have cancer"?
No. So I was diagnosed in 2016, and quite literally speaking, from birth all the way through 2016, I had been to the doctor pretty much like once a year. I had an episode with depression in high school, and I'm colorblind, and I had scoliosis, but like nothing major. And so when I was showering in October 2016, I felt a lump on my testicle, and I didn't feel anything significant in the month prior. But I knew just from my pediatrician and my general care doctor had reinforced that for a couple years, how much of a problem that is. So I called the doctor, and the doctor went and had me referred for an ultrasound, and they found a mass, so they referred me to a urologist. And when I went into the urologist to meet the urologist, I thought it was just going to be another, "We need to schedule you for a biopsy" or something, but he just straight up told me that I had cancer. And normally when I tell people that part of the story, they gasp and they're like, "Oh, that was really abrasive of them." But I appreciate that, because all the doctors up to that point had been kind of being like, "Well, it could be an infection, it could be a cyst," but he basically put it into blunt terms, and I really appreciate that. So that was kind of a shock at first, but it just really got the ball rolling, pun fully intended there, on the next couple weeks and then subsequent months as well.
So tell me, what were your emotions like when you heard those words, "You have cancer," pretty bluntly, as you said, and what happened after that?
So I was, to be perfectly honest, I was very, very numb at the time. I just kind of wanted to know what the next action steps were. I didn't really hit me until I got home from the urologist, because the next steps, he said, were that they were going to have to do emergency surgery, because while testicular cancer is highly curable, it's also highly aggressive. So if you catch it in the early stages, it's like up until about, it spreads to stage 3, it's over 90% curable. So luckily I'd caught it pretty early, but they told me that they would need to remove the whole testicle. And I had assumed that they could just remove just the mass from the testicle, but I didn't realize that, I had heard about Lance Armstrong and everything, but I didn't really understand that if they suspect you have testicular cancer, they basically remove the lump and the testicle in its entirety. So I was upset, not about so much having cancer at that point as losing a ball. So then I realized, I was like, okay, well, I kind of have to get the surgery. As my dad said, it would be nuts not to have the surgery. So it runs in the family, if you can't tell. So I had the surgery literally 2 days after I met the urologist. And then I had some CAT scans and some x-rays and some other work done to see if it had spread, and it had spread to my lymph nodes, so they staged me at stage 2, and so I'd need chemotherapy. So I started chemotherapy actually exactly 1 month after the surgery, the orchiectomy, and then I did 9 weeks of chemo, which culminated in January of 2017.
So you've been sharing your story. You have your own personal blog. You blog for curetoday.com. You have a pretty big following on social media. Was there any one experience that was shocking or gut-wrenching throughout your cancer journey that made you say, okay, we need to talk about this?
Yeah, so when I was first diagnosed, or I guess it was actually after, when I was recovering from surgery, I had just been writing up all my thoughts from discovering a lump through, you know, recovery of what had happened in my life. So I remember the one day when they told me the cancer had spread, I went and I just, you know, I got home from the appointment and I just wrote, because I wanted to have as much direct quotes that I could remember. Just, but at that point, the story was just, for me, kind of like a personal memoir, I guess, for lack of a better term. But I shared it to one of my friends, and she said, hey, you know, this is pretty good. You should do something more with it than just keep it on a private doc. So I said, oh, you know, I'll think about it. So at that point, then I started researching for other testicular cancer blogs, and I couldn't find a whole lot that were written from the perspective of a 20-something. And so I said, oh, you know, I'm basically creating the resource I wanted. I could just publish this, and then it could be something more for, you know, the next patient. And then so that was the initial goal. But as I started writing stuff up, I wanted to support stuff with facts and figures and a little bit more research than just, this is one guy's experience with what it's like to now have one ball. And I, you know, I did some research, and I just found how under-discussed men's health is. And so I said, hey, you know, I had a pretty decent social following prior to this, just with my work with education. And so I was like, I could just leverage that into kind of a new domain. And, you know, rather than just saying, hey, men's health is never discussed, and then stopping there, men's health is never discussed, so here's what I'm going to do to get us talking about it.
Why do you think men's health is not discussed, and do you think it's discussed less than, say, women's health?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I think it has to do a lot with just societal norms throughout, you know, this is going to sound melodramatic, but since the beginning of time, because men are always thought of as, like, the provider and the, you know, the strong, the one who suffers in silence. And that's just foolish. I think, you know, it's 2018, especially with, where gender roles are changing for the better, where, you know, women are having more empowerment. I think we should have the same kind of revolution with men. In fact, that we talk about our health, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. I know personally, just talking about my story, one of my coworkers said how when I kind of came out with my story and shared about doing a testicular exam, she shared that piece to one of her friends who shared it to her son, and their son did an exam literally that day and found a mass, and they rushed him to the hospital, and he too was diagnosed with testicular cancer. So just a simple, you know, that was one of my very, very first blog posts that ended up quite literally saving a life. And had I just kept that to myself, who knows what would have happened to that other guy.
So with your blog and your social media presence, earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that you wanted to back things up with facts. And you recently launched a study about testicular cancer, and particularly whether or not people are getting exams. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago in mid-April, one of my former coworkers had texted me, and she said that she was just asking when testicular exams and discussions about testicular self-exams should be occurring at the doctor's office. And she has two sons. One's graduating high school in about 2 weeks, and one is, he's like a seventh or eighth grader. So I was kind of assuming she was asking on the younger one's behalf. And I said, you know, around 15 is generally the recommendation. And she said, well, I'm, you know, Hunter's almost 18, and he's never had an exam or been talked about one. So Hunter's her older son, and that just floored me. And so, again, rather than just, you know, griping about it, I was like, I wonder, is this thing out of the norm or not? So I launched a research study, and it's really straightforward. It's 6 questions. First one is just, do you have testicles? The next one is, what age range are you within? When was your last physical? And then the 3 questions are about the physical. One question is, did a doctor do a exam of your testicles? Did they talk about how to do a self-exam of the testicles and how frequently to do a self-exam of the testicles? So I've been working on the study for, I guess today marks 3 weeks of working on it. And we've have just over 500 responses right now. My minimum goal is 500, so I'm fortunate to have met that, but I'd love 1,000. But anything, you know, over this 500 right now is gravy. And it's interesting seeing the trends, both in when I'm interviewing guys personally or when I'm just watching it come in through social media, that over right now it's hovering around 50% of guys are reporting that, yes, their doctor did do a testicular exam. And then for the second question about did they talk about how to do a self-exam? I think last time I looked, it was about 75% of guys said no, their doctor did not talk about it. And then for how frequently, it gets even worse, it's something like 80% haven't talked about it. So, you know, the trends have steadily gotten, quote, worse as the study has gone on, because it was, you know, it makes the analytics on Google Forms makes graphs as you're going along. And I remember when I first had my first chart, it was pretty much staying about 50-50, but it's just been seeing the red creeping up over time. So then my next steps with the plan is, once, you know, I'm running the study through June 7th of this year, and once all the data is collected, I'm going to aggregate it and look at trends, both between just men as a whole and then also within the different subgroups of age ranges, and see, you know, the highest age range with risk for testicular cancer is from 15 to 44. So I'm specifically going to be looking at those individuals, or the aggregated responses of those individuals, to see what is being reinforced to those individuals.
So how, if at all, do you hope that whatever you find, you are used to foster change?
So I hope that it's going to be twofold with my findings. Is one, I'm going to include information in the analysis on what patients can do to advocate for themselves. Like, if you're at the doctor and he's not doing an exam or talking about it, I want people to grab the situation by the balls and say, you know, I need you to do this for me. And then be like, hey, next guy that comes in for the physical, you need to do the same for him. And hopefully that just kind of subtly reinforces to doctors that they need to be doing this. And then on a larger scale, I want to get this study into the hands of doctors directly. So I'm going to be looking into either partnering with some sort of doctor foundation or with a medical student. I was talking at a conference I was at recently about how trying to get it into the hands of the medical students might be good, because they're, you know, upcoming generation. So if you start with a new generation of doctors, they have a higher likelihood of affecting change throughout the generation. So that's going to be the twofold approach, is helping men advocate for themselves and then also being the advocate for men by talking directly to doctors about the findings.
So one thing with testicular cancer is that it affects people at a much younger age, because you look at other cancers and it's older people. How does that play into it? And do you think that people in their 20s feel, you know, I'm 25, I'm healthy, and I'm invincible?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. The Center for Advocacy for Cancer of the Testes International just did a study in March of 2018, and they found, I don't remember the statistic off the top of my head, but it's well over half of guys that they surveyed didn't know just how common and frequent it is for younger men to develop testicular cancer. And the average age for developing testicular cancer is 33, which for all intents and purposes is still very young. I mean, I was 25 at diagnosis, so I don't want to brag. I'm a little bit of an overachiever, but, you know, I had to be on the ball. But the ball puns never stop. But I really think that, you know, if it's not talked about and if it's not reinforced by doctors, which is a big part of the reason that I'm running this study, is doctors are the medical professionals. They need to be the ones talking about this, because while I am, you know, one man with a blog and social media, you know, I'm not connected to every single man in the world, but generally speaking, a lot of men do have access to some sort of medical care. And if, you know, if you don't know what you don't know. And so I think that's where the danger lies.
So before we sign off, I have to ask, and you touched upon this throughout our conversation, there are so many puns available for somebody with testicular cancer. And I think this is also really good to help spread the word, especially to our younger generation. Do you have any favorite puns?
So mine's not necessarily a pun, but mine is my favorite joke. And I wish I could take credit for this, that I actually did this, but I didn't. But the story goes, a man walks into a urologist's office because he's suspecting he has a problem. And the urologist says, you know, you probably have testicular cancer. We're going to have to remove the testicle. And he said, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Okay, I guess we're going to have to do that. And he says, well, before we do that, we're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to put down a down payment of $13,000. And the guy says, are you kidding me? $13,000? That's quite a decent amount of money. Is there anything that you can do, you know, discount or anything? And the urologist looks back at him and he says, well, I guess I could do two for the price of one.
See? There it is.
Yeah.
All right, Justin. Well, before we end our conversation, I just wanted to ask you if there's anything else you wanted to mention or to talk about.
No, but if you're, the big thing is if you're a guy, I'd really invite you to talk about your health, do regular self-exams. Please partake in my study. I'm just trying to get as wide of a reach and sample size as possible. But the big thing is whether or not you participate in the study, the big thing is make sure that you are on the ball about talking about your health. It's a tough nut to crack, but we can't afford to drop the ball.
Join us next week when we speak with lung cancer survivor Taylor Bell Duck as she talks about her new normal, celebrating her 10-year anniversary, and how others can raise awareness on National Cancer Survivors Day.
The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine.